studied engineering with Father Daniel, and I used to do assignments with him. And I realized how dumb I was when I did assignments with him. And then I made the mistake of working for the same company as Father Daniel, and then again, my self-esteem plummeted. And here I am, repeating my mistakes and speaking after him. So, forgive me, this won't be as sophisticated as Father Daniel's, but we'll speak a bit more about the practical. Father Daniel's presented very eloquently some of the theological aspects of salvation. And we'll talk a little bit more now about the practical, spiritual consequences of salvation. Not long ago, I was in Hawaii on holiday with my wife, and I'm just walking, minding my own business, and this big man, jumped out at me and said, "Are you saved?" "Relax, man, relax, all right. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do." And I said, "Oh, I think so." And he said, "Oh, those 70 virgins are not going to be waiting for you." he thought I was Muslim and I was waiting for 70 virgins. But that question always baffles me a little bit. Are you saved? Are you saved? I won't answer right now. We'll talk a little bit, then we'll answer right at the end, just to keep you in suspense. Are you saved? I want to start with the actual verse that Father Daniel started with. And it's a very important one, because Father Daniel began with that, and I think it should extend into the practical applications as well. And that was the verse from Deuteronomy, which is what God sets before the people. He says, "Today I set before you life and good, death and evil, your choice. I set before you life and death, good and evil, take your choice." And Father Dan mentioned that the whole point of salvation was to reconnect us with God. But is that reconnection, which took place, is that for everlasting? This choice that was given back to the nation of Israel, is this choice still in our hands today? And the answer is yes. In fact, nothing can be done for our salvation unless we agree to it. St. Augustine said that God created you without your consent, but he can't save you unless he has your consent. He created you without your consent, but he can't save you unless you give him your consent. And so salvation is there for all of us. Salvation is a free gift for all mankind. It is a grace that none of us deserve. It's everything that Father Dan spoke about. But at the end of the day, it's a decision. It's a decision. Do we accept this salvation into our life, or do we reject it? So Macarius also says, "The will of man is an essential precondition, for without it, God does nothing." The will of man is an essential precondition, for without it, God does nothing. And in fact, this free will that God has given to us is one of the greatest gifts that God has given to mankind. Imagine I went home today to my wife and I said, "Hey Gina, do you love me?" And she goes, "No." And then I slap her on the face. "Oh, you love me?" And she goes, "Yes, yes, yes, I love you." "Oh, good. All right." Now, would I feel really good about myself? My self-esteem will get worse after Father Daniel's thing as well. Why? Because her love is forced. But if I went home and I said, "Hey Gina, I know I'm a really bad husband, I know I came home late, I know I've left you all day with the kids and I haven't helped you at all, but do you love me?" And she says, "Yes, I love you." Why does that mean so much? Because out of her own free will, she loves me. And so God, he gives us this free will, even to the extent that he says, "I want to live with you for all eternity in heaven, but I want you to want it. I want you to love me yourself. I'm not going to force you there. If you don't want to be with me, you don't have to be with me. It's okay. But I would love you there. I wish you would all be there, but it's up to you. It's your choice." So this choice that was given back in the Old Testament, I give before you life and good, death and evil, your choice, that choice is still in our hands today. What's amazing in that verse as well, which we may just have skipped over, but it says, "I have set before you today the choice. I've set before you today." That means this choice is a daily one. It's not a one-off. "Yep, God, hand up, I want life. I want eternal life. And thank you very much. See you there. It's not that simple. It's a daily choice. I set before you today, life and death. Pick. Every single day we have this choice that we have to accept this salvation into our life every single day. And our acts and our deeds must reflect that decision that we make. St. Anthony says, expect temptation until your last breath. Expect temptation until your last breath. Even St. Paul, the greatest missionary that's ever lived, what did he say towards the end of his life? He said, I better sort myself out, lest after everything that I've done, I miss out on eternity. You, St. Paul, miss out on eternity? How? You believed, you were baptized, you did it all, you preached to the whole world, you're at half the New Testament. Yep, I can still miss out. Serious? Then I'm stuffed. St. Paul himself said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Yes, of course, the price is paid by Christ. And he's done everything for us, and he's given us that life, and he's reconnected us to God, and he's brought us back into existence. I have to do nothing. All I have to do is I accept, I make the choice every day, and I live a repentant life, always in the fear that perhaps after everything that I've done, I would miss the mark, I would miss out. And so, one of the ways to look at salvation then, if it's a daily choice, is that it's a medicine. It's a daily healing. You know, sometimes with people that speak about salvation, they'll say, God the Father was angry with humanity. And God the Son took and absorbed that anger. And God the Father was satisfied. Now I'm satisfied. Is that salvation? Is it like that? Is God the Father angry? And all right, because the Son took the price, all right. Now I'm satisfied. Actually, the Orthodox Church, salvation is spoken more of as a healing, as a medicine. And as Father Daniel said, that he took on our nature so that he would heal humanity. He would heal our nature. And so salvation is a restoration and a healing to our human nature. Not just that paying a price and an angry father. He came to take on our humanity, to sanctify it, and to give us the healing, to restore us to new life. When we look at salvation like it's healing, like it's medicine, we want it every day. We want to taste that medicine every day. We appreciate that medicine and what it does for us. We had a lady in our church recently who suffered a stroke. She was actually at church the day she suffered the stroke. And she started to feel paralyzed in half her face and half her body. And everyone around her, everyone at church is doctors, so they all knew that this lady was having a stroke. So they quickly rushed her to the hospital. They went to emergency, she's having a stroke. The doctor said, you're very lucky you're here quickly. We have this new drug. I'm not a doctor, I'm not sure, maybe Father Dan can correct me. We have this new drug, it's injected, and if it's administered within a couple of hours of the stroke, very high chance that it will release the clot that's existing in the brain, and everything will be restored function, you'll live perfectly. However, there's a risk that you may bleed to death. And they looked at their clock, and you have 10 minutes to make a decision. And they're watching the clock, because it has to be administered within a certain amount of time, otherwise it doesn't work. Does that sound right? Yeah. So she consulted her family, her friends, her doctors, and they said, do it. So she said, give me the injection. Zish, give the injection, and all of a sudden, everything was fixed. Class again, feeling again, everything was fine, the clock was removed, it was like magic. And we went to visit her, she kept speaking about this injection. She goes, it's amazing. It's like, it's just boom, and then it was fixed in a second. And I could move my hand again. And this medicine is amazing. It's miraculous. He gave me healing, gave me life, gave me everything all over again. That's salvation. When I look to salvation, that it's healing. It's healing for my body. It's giving me life. Then I look to that salvation. I adore it. I feel that it's given to me personally. And I want to taste that salvation every day. I want this medicine in my life. It's not a single decision point, but it's a daily decision that I want to take, I want to taste, I want to appreciate every day of my life. And so the church sets up for us the framework of how we can take this medicine. It tells us Yes, you keep missing the mark, like Father Dan said. You keep sinning. No worries. We have a system. We have confession. And after confession, you come to the liturgy and you partake of the body of Christ, the Eucharist, that our Lord Jesus Christ instituted and said, take and eat for the forgiveness of your sins. Forgiveness of sins? Didn't you die on the cross? Why do you want me to eat and drink your body and blood for forgiveness of sins? Didn't you give me confession for forgiveness of sins? Well, in fact, our Lord Jesus Christ sets up sacraments that if we live in this sacramental cycle, we are under the umbrella of salvation. That I have confession, I have the Eucharist, I have confession, I have the Eucharist. If I'm living in that cycle of forgiveness, I'm under the umbrella of salvation, then I'll always be saved because I'm always taking of the medicine that our Lord Jesus Christ has instituted himself. So back to the question then, are you saved? Anyone know? Are you saved? If you answer, yes, I'm saved. But what about the life of repentance throughout my whole life? What about the struggle that's required? What about if I miss that mark like St. Paul said? Is it that, what about if I say yes now, but I walk out of here and I do something really bad? If I say no, I'm not saved, then that's really belittling the cross and what Christ has done for us in salvation. So, how do I answer that question? I'll end with a story and then hopefully we'll answer the question for you. There was a father of the Egyptian desert. He lived in the 5th century and his name was Abba Zisios. Abba Zisios was a very holy monk. And it came towards the end of his life and he was dying. And the monks have this tradition, when a monk dies, all the other monks huddle around and sing psalms and pray and watch for this beautiful departure of a soul to heaven. It's a tradition in the monasteries. Someone's dying, they all get together and watch it. It's like their movie, so they all get together and they're watching this holy monk depart. And they notice that the monk is speaking, like he's dying and he's speaking. So they said to him, Father, Father, who are you speaking to? And he said, my brothers, I'm pleading with the angel to let me live a bit longer so that I have a bit more time to repent. And he said, are you serious? You still need more time to repent? You're like the holiest monk here. What do you mean still need more time to repent? And then after that, his face shone. And he said, I can see the Lord Christ now. And he left. I would love to die like that. He lived to his last breath, repenting. And he was saved. And so, are you saved? Yes, I am being saved. Christ has given me salvation, and I am working out my salvation with fear and trembling, living a repentant life, making that decision in my life daily to choose life, to choose good. I'm living under the umbrella of salvation, which is given to me by the Church in her mysteries and her sacraments, and therefore I am being saved. And glory be to God forever and ever.